Books of the Bible. Paul wrote the second letter to the Thessalonians to further encourage and instruct them in the face of persecution. Some Thessalonians feared that they had missed the Lord's return. Paul reminds them that God will punish those who persecute the church, and he will be faithful to return for his people. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hi, this is Phyllis Diller. You're listening to Todd Friel, the only man in the world who wears makeup on radio.
Wait for it.
This is Wretched Radio, once again demonstrating who is hipper, who is more current than we are when you play Phyllis Diller as your opening stinger. But don't you worry, in case you thought that was dated, oh, we're going to bring you up to speed with the music, although I have a confession to make. I'm wondering, it could be good, it could be bad, the conversations that are currently happening in Christian radio stations, general managers' offices. What were they playing? What was that rap music on our Christian talk station? Yes. Yes, it was. But if you don't think that the Phyllis Diller is contemporary enough, whoa, we got you. Sort of. Tell me what's the
word. I was being sarcastic, which is another big word you'll learn in school.
What's the word on the street?
Sad fishing. That is the word du jour. It's also the word of the day. Sounds delicious, but I don't think we should have it. Why? According to the Journal of American College Health, I don't know how college health differs from every other human being. Nevertheless, sad fishing refers to social media users who exaggerate their emotional state online to generate sympathy. It's actually been identified as a thing. Woe is me. I feel sick. I'm this depressed. I'm thinking about taking my life. It gets views. And people watch it, and they are labeling it sad fishing because it isn't actually true. And if that's the case, we need another name. Jimmy, what? You've come up with this new name for the kids who, seeking attention, claim to be a different gender or confused about their sexuality. Because that's, I think that's what's the social contagion of all of the gender confusion. Why is it particularly found in one demographic, younger people? Why? How is that explainable? Why aren't more 50-year-olds concluding, I think I'm in the wrong body? Could it be because they are being informed on media that it is the cool thing and it gets attention? It certainly gets attention in the schools. How many kids might be pretending? And I think the number is high. Do you recall that study? I think the number was 30-some percent, maybe as high as like 36%, something like that, of kids that are Gen Zs claim to be not heterosexual. What is that all about? But then they ask some questions. And do you perform those acts that you identify with? And the overwhelming majority was like, no. It seems that the conclusion I think that can be fairly drawn is that they're just pretending to get attention. And I think that is a plague in our country. I see it. And I think the sad fishing business does nothing but support my observation that kids are simply desperate for people to pay attention, somebody to talk to them. And parents, I know you got a hard task in front of you because they like their cell phones. It's not cool to talk to their parents, but I'm telling you, they want to talk. They want somebody to care. They want somebody to get in there. And sad fishing, I think, does nothing but amplify the need for adults to be engaging in young people's lives. And it's not just in the home. I think it's in the context of the local church. You want to have an awesome experience this Sunday? Find a teenager in your church. Make sure it's all appropriate and nothing can be misconstrued. Take an interest. Ask some deeper questions. And you might be shocked at how they lock into you and want to keep talking to you. Experts say sad fishing is likely due to the fact that a child or teen is struggling with something and wants to let others know. They often feel they have a person they feel comfortable with to share their struggles with, so they turn to the social media world. This obviously is not an indictment on all Christian parents, but it is something. Teenagers, there's a reason the jokes endure. They're going through stuff. They're moody. Yeah. They're trying to figure things out. They're having to make some decisions, arrive at some worldview decisions that they're not quite ready to formulate, and they need help. They'll tell you they don't, because that's kind of natural. We're growing up. We want to fly away from the nest. That's natural. But to not engage with them because it's challenging, because, Mom, Dad, I don't need you talking to nobody else than everybody else's parents. They're really cool, and they let them drink in the house. You got to get in there. They want it. They need it. A 2023 study published in the journal BMC Psychology found that teens who participate in sad fishing exhibited signs of anxiety and depression with low social support as a large contributing factor. May I do a shout out to you if you're Gen Z and you're feeling that way? I would like to, well, if I could, I'd take you by the earlobe and drag you to church on Sunday. Get there. Go there, linger there, arrive early, do stuff, help with the coffee, talk to the people who come and go, and stick around. Don't bolt for the door as if you've done a duty. Start talking to people. It'll reorient your life. It'll set the trajectory for the entire week. And you're going to find yourself feeling less alone, because you're not. That you're not. Everything is fractured these days. The church is your safe place. The church is where you can go. It's like Cheers. Everybody should know your name and love on you and care about you. So if you're a Gen Z or you're feeling the blues, I'm telling you, church is a powerful elixir. Another more recent study showed sad fishing occurred in those who had trouble coping with complicated issues or used social media while intoxicated. Well, that's like a double whammy right there. So where are the kids going? According to Crosswalk, why millennials are flocking to Buddhism. I know it's become popularized and cool. It started with mindfulness in the schools. That's Buddhism light. But apparently more kids are being attracted to it. Let's see if we can find out why. From Atlantic Monthly, Olga Kazan writes about why so many Americans are turning to Buddhism. Short answer, mental health. Now, I'm not a big fan of that term, but people are struggling. Okay, people do have, I'm going to say a word that is almost automatically deemed to be, whoa, that's like Ephesians 5, pal. You got to be careful. They've got felt needs. Now, we've used that term to turn church into a felt need center where we cater to and accommodate what everybody's whims and emotions and preferences are. That's too bad, because the reality is people do have struggles. You don't? I do. Jimmy has a ton of them. I mean, honestly, living with the regret of missing the post.
That really is bothering me.
On the pro-life show. I think the part of healing is cleaning out the wound. So I will be your rubbing alcohol.
Thank you.
What I'd like to be. Mental health is an issue. Why would they be going to Buddhism? We have the solutions. We have the answers. No, we don't market churches. Come and get your mental health issues fixed here. But that will happen. Not all issues, of course, but being in a church, we're the ones who can apply reality, truth to their brains. The article from the Atlantic Monthly. It's not about spiritual enlightenment or a faith community, but rather hoping for a quick boost of cognitive healing. People have run out of options. Mental health disorders are up, and the answer doesn't seem to be church attendance, which is down. That should crush us. The ancient religion, some find, helps them manage the slings and arrows and subtweets of modern life. More people are stressed out by the constant drama of the current administration. Work hours have overwhelmed the day. There's something newly appealing about a practice that instructs you to just sit and empty your brain. it taps into something. There's no question of it's like people, okay, it's all chaos swirling around me. I'm just going to go find a corner in a quiet place, dim the lights, fold my legs, and myself into oblivion. But that doesn't make all of the noise out there make sense. It doesn't remove the clatter. You're basically putting Buddhist earplugs in. But you take them out, and there it is. Buddhism gives us the easy appeal of spirituality without accountability. You don't have to join anything or really believe in anything. See, I actually think that's something that they are longing for. That's precisely what they're looking for. And I think personally, I think we're all guilty of being these lawnmower helicopter parents. We just want to just make sure the kids come to church. That's enough. I don't care if they mope here. You got to drag them here. You got to bribe them with bad pizza. Just get in there. That's all that matters. Wrong. You're a member of this church. You're a part of this church. Guess what? Like any family, there are responsibilities. Let's figure out what yours are. And let's get you plugged in so you can make a difference, which is one of their heart's desires. They want to make a difference. They want to contribute to something. And we've removed so many of those elements from the context of the local church. And honestly, I don't think we've been doing the kids any favors. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. And let me tell you just how this ministry is going to get a facelift later this year. First of all, meet Dr. Jason Lyle, one of the new voices who will be coming in to the Gospel Partners Media Ministry. Dr. Lyle's an astrophysicist. He's the founder of the Biblical Science Institute. He holds a PhD in astrophysics from the University of Colorado, and Dr. Lyle brings a wealth of knowledge in science and faith. With leaders like Dr. Jason Lyle, our ministry will begin to inspire and equip the church even more so than it already has been. This is a brave new world we're living in, and your support can help us bring more voices like his to the forefront. Join our $250,000 match campaign happening right now. Just visit wretched.org/fellows to see how you can partner with us to make a difference. And together we can transform lives with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
If you're familiar with the Tomorrow Club's outstanding ministry, oh, what a testimony. Eastern Europe, Africa, poor, poor, poor places. The Tomorrow Clubs go in. They assemble the kids every week, preach the gospel, have them memorize the Bible, sing songs, love on them, give them some treats. It has been an outstanding ministry for over 20 years, and it's growing like a nobody's business, and it is a testimony to their faithfulness that over 50% of the Tomorrow Club volunteer leaders were Tomorrow Club kid attendees. Now they, in their villages, are teaching the kids the gospel as volunteers for the Tomorrow Clubs. I got to tell you, that is a testimony. If you love supporting evangelistic ministries that are faithful, that actually preach repentance and faith, it's an outstanding ministry. If you can support it, would commend them to you by visiting tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
All right, folks, get ready. Grab yourself a comfortable chair, a box of tissues, and get ready to go on a bit of a roller coaster ride, because that's what's going to happen if you pick up Safely Home by Randy Alcorn, a book that's been making even the toughest men cry like babies who drop their ice cream. Safely Home will challenge your faith, it will question your comfort, and it will make you reconsider how you view the lost. It is a straight-up sucker punch with hard-hitting questions like, are you ready to suffer for your faith? Are you ready to die for it? Yeah, it's that intense. And don't take my word for it. You can actually read a sample right now in the Wretched store at wretched.org. And remember, when you purchase the book, tissues are not included, but they are heavily recommended. Seriously, stock up. Grab your copy right now of Safely Home by Randy Alcorn at wretched.org and get ready to have your faith strengthened like never before. Just don't say we didn't warn you.
Hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is the art and science of interpreting scripture. When reading the Bible, begin with these three questions. What does it say? What does it mean? What difference does it make? Many common mistakes can be avoided with basic hermeneutics. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Over-delivering again. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, I requested that you come up with a sad fishing-like term that describes the young people who desire attention so desperately in order to receive it, they're willing to say that they're a different gender, their sexuality is aberrant. Sad fishing are for those kids who have maladies that they post online in order to get attention.
Right.
So the kids who are looking for the attention with gender and sexuality are called?
Attention-seeking identity change.
Wow, that's a lot.
Identity experimentation.
Okay.
Social influence on gender identity.
Uh-huh.
Peer-influenced gender exploration.
Uh-huh.
Or contextual gender expression.
You AI'd this, didn't you?
I did.
I know it.
But I asked if there were terms being used already.
Uh-huh.
And those are the terms that are being used.
Oh, they're already being used.
Yes.
Oh, stop it.
Uh-huh. That's what it says. Yeah.
Wow. That's tragic. Okay, so, but that would be an example of using the AI for something that can kind of expedite stuff. Because if you had to go find those buried inside of articles,
right,
it can be like a research assistant. I just used it last night, the night before. I just used it myself. I wanted to find what did the early church, what did the reformers, what did the Puritans think about pastors who violated 1 Timothy 3:2? And guess what? They added for me. It saved so much time. All I wanted were a few quotes, and I found them from an early church father. It's a Latin name, and I don't want to sound all academic. Chrysostom. It was a Cyprian it was an old dead guy. And they said that if a man of a bishop, pastor, elder, disgraces himself, he's done. Because they understood that a besmirching of character was a disqualifier, and you can't ever be requalified again because that never goes away. Especially today with social media. And the reason I was looking for it, all these celebrity pastors who have taken a tumble, I know a lot of folks dive into that stuff, to each their own. But I thought it was worth noting, but they're all restored. They all take a header and then they go through some process where they meet with somebody who determines, okay, you're fit again. And I ask, what Bible verse is that? And what did the early church think? What did the reformers think? Luther, Calvin, disqualified. You're out of there. The Puritan, John Owen, very clear about it. If you commit a besmirching sin, one that can legitimately cause the world to point at Jesus Christ and go, yeah, he's one of yours, huh? One of your under shepherds. Then you're disqualified. Doesn't mean that you can't be a member of a local church, but it does mean that you no longer qualify for that office. And I was able to find those quotes lickety-split, although it's driving me nuts because the guy that I'm thinking of has two C's in his letter. It's his name and then the town that he's from. And he was also engaged in the discussion and debate about what do we do with Christians who under duress deny the faith in order to spare their own lives? Do we let them come back in? And he was a Cyprian of Carthage. Let's go with that. I think that's right. They debated these things. And we do well to go back and see how they thought it through. That does not mean it's infallible. We're not Roman Catholics. We don't believe in the magisterium or tradition. We believe in the Bible. But these guys thought it through. Okay. All right. Jimmy, would you be kind enough to do me a favor? Just like we talked about in rehearsal. Would you please, 3535 conference, and see if it's a church conference, in August 12, 13, and 14, really the 2 days are the 13th and the 14th when the plenary sessions are going to take place. I'm going to this conference, and I would encourage you to consider coming to this conference. Okay, it's in North Dakota, but you still should come to this conference, and we're going to spend 2 days. I'm not speaking. I'm just sitting and I'm watching and I'm going to drink this in because they're going to be talking about what did the reformers think about church? How did we come up with our understanding of the ecclesia? What it's supposed to do, what its authority is, what its authority isn't, and how they processed the church. and you'll go deeper than you probably, maybe you study the issue a lot of the local church, but most likely you're going to go deeper and you're going to hear thinking revealed from dead people that'll be like, what? That would, huh? And one of the things, for instance, you're going to learn is that these debates about what to do, what is the church? Because remember, they were embroiled with the Roman Catholic Church, the papal system, and now they're having to figure out, well, where are we Protestants on this? And they work through it. And it had implications, including, ready for this, baptism. And you go, wait, wait, hold on. Talking about church and then believers' baptism somehow got enmeshed in that? Yep. You want to learn how? Join us in North Dakota. Hey, by the way, Jimmy, did you hear that the governor of North Dakota is one of the potential running mates for Donald Trump?
Oh, I did not.
Bergstedt, I believe his name is the name of the governor from North Dakota.
Okay.
He ran, wasn't a successful campaign. You know who else I heard might be actually be one of the candidates?
Who?
You take a crazy guess.
I don't know.
Mike Pence.
Really?
That's, I don't get involved in it.
Really?
We know a guy and we bump into him when we're out for walks regularly. And he was sharing this stuff. So what I just said to you is about as solid as the source I just revealed, a guy that we bump into on our walks. All right, Jimmy, did you find 3535?
I did.
Okay, what's the actual, is it, it's about a church conference, correct?
It will be a church conference.
All right. What is the website address?
It's 3535foundation.com.
All right. Check it out. We'll geek out in the middle of August together. We'll go deeper and we'll talk about what a church looks like that is most pleasing to God. And some of the conclusions you might end up disagreeing with, because it's a lot to consume. Congregational model, elder-led, elder influence, elder rule. What's the role of the congregation? Wow, there's a disparity of opinions on that subject alone these days. And you're going to hear thinkers, really bright guys, drill down on this to understand why is it that for instance, the Westminster Confession or the London Baptist Confession of 1689 talks about the church the way that it does. It's because we thought about it a lot. Jimmy, would you be kind enough? It's kind of buried at that website. If you can find the speakers, the schedule for it, and read some of the sessions. You got that by any chance?
Yes.
All right. It's real small print.
Yes.
So what's it? I think the first one, that's Doug. He's going to be delivering on just kind of a general overview of the subject.
Right. It's just big pictures.
What's the next big session?
Matthew 16:18-28.
My church, I build it. What about the keys of the kingdom? What? What is that all? Okay. What's the next session?
Polities of the Reformed World.
Cool.
From Chad Van Dixhorn.
Mm-hmm.
Then Foundation Education.
That's kind of a plug for all of the stuff that they're doing organization.
I see that,
right?
Now.
Okay.
John Cotton and the Keys to the Kingdom.
Hello.
What's
a John Cotton? He's a profoundly deep thinker. All right, keep going. What else?
Westminster Assembly Ecclesiology Debates.
Mm-hmm.
That's day one.
Yeah. That's day one. Okay, we get the point.
Right.
It's going to be an ecclesiological geek fest, and I can't wait. So, if you got nothing else to do in the middle of August, get yourself to North Dakota. Hey, there's a lot to see there. It takes forever to get to it, but there is so much that you can see there. Speaking of social contagion, what was the stuff that the AI machine said, the names that it gave, some of them?
Identity experimentation.
Okay. In other words, they get attention from it. This from City Journal. Hysterics for Hamas. You've seen it on the university campuses. 5, 6, 7, 8. Israel's a terrorist state. Oof. Resistance is justified when people are occupied. Overwhelmingly female. Disproportionately female. Why the gender gap, muses this author. One reason is that women constitute majorities of both student bodies. That makes some sense, doesn't it? Another is the sex skew in majors, hard sciences and economics, less likely to take days off. So women who take maybe some of, this will probably be offensive, the softer studies, they feel like they can cut class to do it. But I thought this was interesting. They want to be involved in something bigger than themselves. I think we need to recognize that and get our kids plugged in. Most important, the victim ideology that drives much of academia today with this explicit enmity to objectivity of white male constructs. Like the spread of trans identity among females, the tent eruptions are a case of, here it is, social contagion. It's happening. It's bombarding your kids. Mom and Dad, what's your plan? Until tomorrow, go serve your king.